Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Hey, before we get into today's episode, one of my goals here at the podcast is to have as big an impact as possible with the show. And one of the ways to increase visibility on platforms like iTunes so that we can have a bigger impact is through the number of people who subscribe to the podcast and the number of ratings and reviews that you have for the show. You've heard this before, right? Now, at the time I'm recording this episode, which is July 23rd, we are currently at 527 five-star ratings and reviews, which is amazing. I'm so thankful for it. Unfortunately, on iTunes, you can't tell how many subscribers that you have. So my goal is to get to 750 five-star ratings and reviews by the end of Q3. So by the end of the quarter, September 30th. So that means we're looking for 223 more five-star ratings and reviews by September 30th. So here's what I'd love for you to do. After you subscribe to the podcast here, leave a quick, honest rating and review for the show on iTunes, and then take a simple screenshot of your rating and review, and then message me on Instagram with that screenshot. I'm at Rick Mulready on Instagram. Now, when we hit 750 ratings and reviews, I'm going to do a raffle of everyone who sent me their screenshot of the ratings and reviews, and I'm going to give away a book bundle of my top 10 business and mindset books to a winner. And I've shared my favorite business and mindset books here on the podcast before. And actually since then, which was, I think it was late 2018, I've added to that list. So the winner is going to receive 10 of my favorite business and mindset books. Okay. So thank you so much for your support of the show. I super appreciate it. All right, let's jump into today's episode.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mulready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
All right. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast here. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Super appreciate it. I'm Rick Mulready, your host. And I'm here to help online experts grow and scale your business so that you can reach and help more people, so that you can amplify your impact. And when you do all those things, not only will your revenue increase, but you and your audience as a result get to have better lives. And that's what this is all about, right? Now, joining me on the show today is one of my former students, Jose Quiros. And Jose has developed a framework to help people who are in the corporate world who want to start an online business. And he helps them create an online business. And this framework that he's created, which he calls his secret sauce, is based on his own childhood experience of growing up in an entrepreneurial family, as well as his own experience leaving the corporate world and starting his own online business. And I asked him to come on the show today for a couple of different reasons. Number one, to share a case study of a client of his who is a local fitness trainer who, like so many other in-person service businesses like trainers, wanted to begin getting away from always trading time for money. And he wanted to take his training business online. So Jose shares how Rich, who is this fitness trainer, went from having hardly any presence online to selling 25 spots in a 3-month online fitness program in just a few weeks. And we're going to break down today the plan that Rich executed, that Jose gave him, to sell those 25 spots, which was, they were priced at $255 for the 3 months per spot. Okay. We're also going to talk about how they approach creating the course that Rich created and delivering that content. And we're going to talk about why they decided to do it this way rather than doing a membership. It was kind of a mini membership, but it was a 3-month program. We will break it down here for you today. Okay. Now, I was in the corporate world of online marketing for 13 years before leaving to start my own business. I worked for AOL for 5 years back in the Wild West days of the internet. I started AOL in 2000, left there at the beginning of 2005. Then I came out here, that was in Virginia. Then I came out here to the West Coast. I spent a couple years at Yahoo. Then I went to a company called Vibrant Media. Then I got recruited away from there to go to Funny or Die, which is Will Ferrell's online platform. And then I went back to Vibrant Media before starting my own business here. I left the corporate world in the fall of 2012, which means I'm coming up on my 7-year anniversary, which is pretty crazy. So like me, Jose knew that he had a bigger calling to do more than what he was doing in the corporate world. And he also, just like I did, had a lot of doubts and fears in making the transition from the corporate world to running his own online business. So in addition to the case study that you're going to hear today, Jose is also super open and talks about those doubts and fears that so many of us can relate to. So we're going to break it all down here for you today. So without further ado, my friends, let's go hang out with Jose Quiros. Jose, my man, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Very, very well. Thank you so much for having me. It's something that I've been listening to for, I think, over a year now. So yep. Just being on it is kind of surreal. So thank you so much.
It's come full circle for you.
It's the law of attraction.
Well, I'm honored to have you on the podcast here, truly. And thank you for taking time to come on here. I really want to dive into this cool case study that you've shared with me over the past few months. And I think that this is going to be something that a lot of people can benefit from and dive into sort of what you've kind of learned from this case study and shifted into how you're helping people now and dive into all that stuff here today. Because I think this is what you have been able to do with some of your clients and also the journey in your business and who you're helping, I think is going to be really beneficial and very relatable to a lot of people who listen to the podcast here. So with that said, introduce yourself to AOPT Nation here and let them know who Jose is and what you do and a little bit about your background.
Awesome. Thank you. What's up, AOPT? Jose Quiros. I like to start it from the beginning. I'm just an immigrant kid. I grew up in a family-owned business household. We came from, my dad came from Mexico at 40 with the full family and all that stuff. And, you know, I just pursued through his ambition, motivation, and mom too. Say, hey, you got to go to college. You got to do your thing. So out of college, I went into the corporate world as a digital marketing specialist. I went from digital marketing specialist to digital marketing coordinator to then digital marketing strategist, which was kind of the last title I held. And that was a little under a decade in the corporate world, really learning digital marketing. And in around 3 years ago, I had always had a side hustle, but 3 years ago was like, this is the decision, time to go branch off on my own. And so I took that expertise of digital marketing that I learned in the corporate world. And, you know, you were in the corporate world as well. So you start to learn a lot of different things, process and systems and teams and all that stuff. Took all that knowledge and then applied it to my own online business. And so that's what I've been doing for the past coming on 3 years now, doing the online business. I started as a marketing agency. We talked about this before, where you become a jack of all trades and you're juggling these different things and you're not seeing it. And that's what led me to you. And so this year has been really redefining that and narrowing down and focusing on who I want to serve and how do I want to use my skill set in this kind of world that we're in. And that's helping now defined clearly is helping corporate folks go from cubicle to laptop without risking the steady income of their day job. Because we both, I think, know that the world has changed. You can actually take your side hustle and make it a very profitable business without having to kind of take that leap of faith that we both did at one point. Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, it took me a while to wrap my head around, and obviously with your story here about leaving corporate and starting your own thing, starting your own digital agency and doing all the things, right? Well, you had a bigger calling. You knew that you wanted to do something bigger than what you were doing in the corporate world. And again, nothing against the corporate world. I was doing the same thing, but you know, you wanted to do something bigger than yourself. And I want to do the same thing. But after leaving the corporate world, and I was really struggling those first, especially those first year, that year and a half, those first 15 months after leaving, you know, I felt this whole illusion of I had more job security, quote unquote, in the corporate world. When, and that's something that has taken me a while to realize is completely not true, is like, cause you could walk in on a Thursday and you could get your pink slip and say tomorrow's, you know, they could say tomorrow's your last day, right? True. Where when we are the owners of our own business, we are entrepreneurs serving a specific audience in a whatever way that we are serving them, you know, we get to control that. That's our job security based on our own, you know, the work that we're putting in, and no one else is saying you're done tomorrow or whatever that might be. And so that was an illusion that took me a while to get over and sort of move past. But well, for you, when you were in the corporate world, what was that, you know, what was that transition? What was that? What's the word I'm looking for? You know, what was your thought process in that? I want to leave and go do my own thing. Like, what was that like for you?
So, you know, actually what's funny is it was actually the reverse for me. So I came from a family owned business. My dad came to the States at 40, started a janitorial business, became a seven figure business by the age of 55. It was all janitorial work, 7 days a week. And then all around me, my godparents, my aunts, my uncles, they all have landscaping, hair salons. They all kind of did their own thing. And it was the opposite for me because growing up, I saw that and I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to work the crazy hours, the 7 days a week, the, you know, family business talks at the dinner table. I didn't like that. And so my thing was, I want to go to corporate and I wanted to 9-to-5 schedule and I have my evenings off and my weekends off. And when I did that for a couple of years, you know, it started to come out. The more I got in trouble with HR for, you know, wearing a flashy shirt or you know, just having too much fun at work, quote unquote, right? But it was really just my personality coming out. And so it was kind of that, actually. It was reflecting back and saying, wait, maybe I'm trying to fit, you know, a square peg into a round hole. Mm-hmm. I'm not meant for this stuff. But a lot of those concerns did come to mind because I was making the most money I've ever made, especially for my age. I think I was, you know, 25, 26. I was, you know, two steps away from becoming a director. I was in that kind of managerial level. And everyone around me was in their mid 30s to early 40s. And I was, you know, here in my mid 20s. And so that was kind of a leap too, right? To say, well, I mean, if everyone's looking at me and saying, hey, man, you're killing it, keep doing what you're doing, but you're not satisfied in it, that's where that kind of happened. So it was a lot of meditation and pondering on my decision. It actually helped build the relationship with my dad much stronger because now we were connecting at a different level. We were connecting at a level of, you know, the fear of uncertainty of doing your own thing. And it was cool to see. It was awesome because within those conversations, I was able to get the real side of that too. Because growing up, you saw dad as Superman 7 days a week, just working and thinking, man, this guy doesn't complain once. Mm-hmm. And now when, you know, you're older, you're starting things, then you started to expose like, oh no, I was really scared when I did that. Or no, there's a couple of times where I had to pull over and sleep in the truck because I just couldn't keep going. So it was a little different. But one of the things that I'll offer this kind of as a perspective shift, because you know, we do see it as like the safety net of corporate, as you were just mentioning. What I kind of shifted was I looked at the opportunity cap. I thought to myself, in corporate, there's an opportunity cap unless I keep jumping from place to place, right? But if you're in one place, it's really hard to kind of move up that quickly. And looking at doing your own thing, I was like, the only opportunity cap is myself and is how much I want to, you know, learn or try or experiment or put the effort in. And so that was one of the things that really helped me kind of take a sigh of relief and say, okay, I'm not leaving the safety net, you know, going to try to open up as many doors as I can. And it helped that I was, you know, in my mid to late 20s thinking, okay, I'm gonna give this a 10-year run. If not, I'll be in my mid to late 30s and I'll just go back to the corporate world if it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you learned a lot in your transition when you decided to leave corporate and create your own agency using what you were learning in the digital, in the digital world, in the corporate world. Very similar to my story, but I didn't do the jack of all trades agency, which is what you did there. What was that? And we're going to come back to this a little bit later here in the conversation, but what was that plan for you that worked particularly well that you now help people with do the same thing? So what was that plan like for you as you went, you know what, I'm going to go do my own thing, but I need a plan here to do it.
Sure. So I made that mistake and I didn't have a plan. I was just like that entrepreneur bug or that business owner. It's just like, let's just go do it and see what happens. And so I lost, money trying eBooks and Google Ads. And just, I actually even had tried to go into like real estate and do these things that weren't even, my forte, but it was just like, I need to get out of corporate.
Yeah.
And I did that spun my wheels for a good year or two. But what really, really shifted it for me was a business coach. At this point, I had started listening to podcasts, started learning, and I hired my first business coach, James Martell, who actually passed away last year. But he was, with his direction, it was able to take, because I had what I considered like the formula for an entrepreneur. Like, I love risks. I'm really high energy. I enjoy this stuff. Uncertainty is somewhat thrilling for me. But just because I had all of that, making of a great fighter, I didn't have the recipe to become a champion. And it was, working with James to help me first structure it, help me grow, the business fairly quickly. And then obviously I wanted another coach to take me to that next level. Hence, you came into my life. But that really was the turning point of helping that out. And what I didn't, one thing that I wish I would have got more from James was a personalized plan. What James was doing at the time was somewhat cookie cutter. He had, a group of people in there with him and he was giving you, which was great, statement of works and processes and kind of almost building like a franchise around it and handing it over, which was great. But doing that for a year or two makes you realize like, wait, is this for me? I'm kind of just going with the motions. And so that's where I wanted to differentiate that. And because I've been in digital marketing for so long and also just within a business household and business on my own, being able to marry those two, taking that personal experience with my family, the business life, et cetera, with the work experience of corporate and digital, marrying it together, I call it my secret sauce, putting that together to then now help people with a actually personalized roadmap for them, because not one size fits all type of thing. People have different skill sets, personalities, different things. And so that's really what I wanted to do differently, was not only provide that guidance like James and yourself are providing for me, but also a tangible, roadmap of like, these are the steps that you want to take.
Now, before you, I love that. And I love that how clear that is for you and the clarity of who you're serving, how you're serving them and why you're serving them. And what differentiates you is your story and how you went about it and the personalization and stuff like that. Now, you took a client through this that I want to break this case study down because you did some amazing work with a personal trainer. Now, not somebody who's in the corporate world, but similar in a sense of they want to take their existing business that's not online and create an online business out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And you took a personal trainer as a client, took them through your process, and this person, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had their just in-person training business. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they didn't have any kind of online presence as far as selling programs or anything like that. They went from just having but they had the in-person training business, and then they went to 25 course sales in just a few weeks going through this process. But let's break this down here. So what's the background on, you don't have to give this person's name, but like, where were they at in their business? Why do they want to take things online? And then take us through the process there. What happened?
Right on, right on. I'll give his first name because we built a great bond through this process. So Rich. So I actually had met Rich through my agency work. Okay. He had originally contracted me for, you know, I need a website redesign, I need this. And through that, I started to get to know him. And he had dabbled in things before this, you know, I'm talking in 2-3 years in the past of like trying to do a YouTube channel, trying to, you know, he built a website himself on I think it was like Apple's old coding platform that doesn't even get supported anymore.
Good for him.
So he tried and it didn't really work out. And so then he decided just to stick to what he knew, and that was running his boot camps. And it's actually very similar, I guess, to the situation in that what we're talking about, that safety net. You know, he had folks that were paying him, you know, a small amount of reoccurring revenue on a monthly basis. So that was his safety net. And it was really hard for him to picture, okay, let me leave this to go then to do the online stuff. So we reconnected because his goal was to have a membership site. And we both kind of know this when someone comes in and says, hey, I want to have a full-fledged automatic, you know, automated membership site where people can opt in and opt out automatically. And it's like, okay, you can have that in maybe a couple years, but for right now it's, you know, you're working backwards that way. So we started talking, and the difference this time around was I really wanted to know why he wanted to do this. And the first thing was, you know, as everyone always says, like income, right? I want either passive income or extra income coming in. But when we really started narrowing it down, it was because he just had a child. He had about like a 1-year-old at the time, 1.5-year-old. And he was noticing that, you know, the setting up in the physical boot camp, going in there, saying it was taking time from that. And it was a perfect time of, and the reason why I'm saying this is because, you know, with the guidance and the plan also then comes, you know, that person's own self-motivation and determination to actually get this done.
And the execution.
They have to execute.
You can lead a horse to water, but you know.
Exactly. Totally. And I'm going to give you a paved road to the water, but once you get to that water, you better start drinking it.
I like it. Yeah. It's a good analogy.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to give this because I feel like it's a great example of how I try to approach it creatively and get him to that state. I knew he was a Lakers fan and just through getting to know him, and I knew he was a diehard Kobe Bryant fan. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after the first discovery call, and we're getting kind of in the technical aspect of it, the end of the discovery call, I ended it with, okay, I got to put it this way. You're my Kobe Bryant and I'm your Phil Jackson. So I'm going to give you, you know, the triangle offense, and then I'm going to give you the defense, and I'm going to give you constructive criticism of how to improve your game. But at the end of the day, you're the one going in there and you have to try to score 81 points. That's just the name of the game. Mm-hmm. And so after that discovery call, getting to know, you know, his why, who he wants to serve, what he's good at, you know, we had to also differentiate what made him separate from other personal trainers. And what separated him was he's a really genuine, nice guy. He wants to help people with shoulder injuries, and he wants to help people who are, or women who are uncomfortable at the gym and you know, want to be fit, but they don't want, you know, they don't feel comfortable in this arena of weights and really super buff guys. And so, again, finding his secret sauce, right? Like, what's your experience? Similar, I would with someone in corporate, what do you know how to do? And that's usually work experience, which was his physical personal training. Mm-hmm. And then what's your personal assets? You know, like, who are you? What kind of, you know, what kind of person are you, et cetera. So then we married those two together, and then my team got to work. So after getting all that information with him, then we started putting together his custom roadmap, his plan for it. So we took any assets he already had, whether it was some social media, he was part of a couple local networking groups, which are, you know, really easy to get into, but he had been there for about 6 months or so. So we kind of just took an audit of what he has going on. And then we also got to work on, okay, how then will he execute his personal training? And we put that all together in a beautiful, I was actually looking at the PDF right before the call, and it's a beautifully designed PDF. It's very simple. It's very 1-2-3-step process. And I loved the way it starts is you scroll down and you see a big quote from Kobe Bryant. And it says, I'll do whatever it takes to win, whether it's sitting on the bench, waving a towel, handing a water to one of my teammates, or hitting the game winning shot. I will do whatever it takes to win.
I like
it. And I thought it was great because his biggest fear after going through the game plan was live video. He's like, well, I don't know about live video, et cetera. And after he, you know, vented, I told him, that's Kobe sitting on the bench waving a towel. You think Kobe wants to sit on the bench and wave a towel? Yeah. No, he does not. But you don't want to do live video. But again, we got to do what we have to do to win. And so once we gave him that game plan, he was on his way. We gave him 2 weeks to start, you know, hammering it out. And then we touched base after that 2 week notice. What's going on? What's going on with the game plan? How are you feeling? What's going on? Give me some numbers. And that's when he turned around and said, you know, the goal was 25 courses within this program, which was like an 8 week program starting at the day we deliver the roadmap. He had 25 online registers. That's what his goal was. We had 23 in the first 2 weeks. And so that was amazing. And then a few days went on and he closed that 25 in that 2.5 weeks. So it was awesome.
So I want to kind of break that down a little bit. So the original goal was to scale the business online. Was he going to continue his in-person training plus the online stuff, or was his goal to go completely online?
So that's actually something we defined in that call, okay. Because it was something he was debating with, and I let him know that he didn't need to separate it. And so he ended up just doing that, where this became an avenue as well. So he has his physical, mm-hmm. and now he has his online as well.
Gotcha.
And in the last chat I had with them, the online has helped boost up the physical. Sure. Because the more live videos, you know, is out there where he's promoting the online, the more people are reaching him, say, hey, I've been wanting to take your boot camp. Hey, this, and that. And so he's seen almost like a good double growth in it using the online tactics.
Gotcha. So what was the process like? So in deciding that, like, okay, I'm going to have an online portion of the business. Did he know what that was going to look like, or was that more based on your conversation with him? You guys came up with a plan like, oh, this is going to be, so what was it? It was an 8 week course, you said?
So the 8 weeks is for my program with him. It was the personal roadmap.
What was the course that he actually ended up creating?
Sure. So he created a 3 month boot camp.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So his original goal, actually, the only thing he had when he came to me is like, I want to do an online course. Yeah. I know there's people training online and I know there's people making it. That's what I want. And he came with that and with, I want a membership site. Right. Okay. But it wasn't defined as to, okay, well, what exactly are you trying to, you know, sir? Well, yeah, how are you trying to train? What's different, et cetera. So all of that then got defined within our first conversation of that discovery of it.
Gotcha. Okay. So what was that process like? So, okay, I'm going to do a 3 month boot camp, online boot camp. He doesn't have that created. Take us through that process. Once you guys came up with, all right, that's going to be the plan. What did that plan look like for him to go from, like, I have so many questions on unpacking this here, because he went from no sales to 25 sales in 2.5 weeks, which is ridiculously good.
Yeah. Yeah.
From not having an online presence to doing that, that's pretty remarkable. So take us through that process. Like, what did he have to do in order to get to those 25 sales?
Sure. Sure. So, practicing what you preach, it was always validated first. Don't start building, validate first. And so in the original call, again, we started picking apart, okay, what is your assets? What are your low-hanging fruits? What are you a part of? So that's when we realized, okay, the networking groups, he did have a personal Facebook that he had local folks, you know, following throughout the year. So that's an asset. He had an email list that was, you know, years old, but never touched and never cleaned or anything like that. So he, you know, had stuff that we can use. We just didn't know the quality of it yet. Okay. And so we took an audit of that. We also then defined who he was trying to provide this to, you know, was it for the busy mom? Was it for this? Was it for that? And he decided on people with some kind of injury, whether it's a shoulder injury or a knee injury. He wanted to kind of specialize in that. Okay. And so taking what we had available to us and finding that, okay, this is the type of people that we were looking for. Do any of these people exist in our network already? Mm. And then that's when we started to marry. We actually married traditional with digital. We had, you know, personal messaging that he was sending out, you know, a direct video message in the messaging, et cetera. But then he was also calling them, you know, if he felt strongly like, hey, this person is a strong fit for this. And I've had them in my course, and, you know, they've trained with me before. And, you know, that injury is still relevant. I know it is, I'm going to give them a quick call or I'm going to shoot them a quick text. And so that's, you know, those are the type of things that maybe a lot of people wouldn't want to do, but that's what it's like, what you're saying, you know, to go from zero to 25, how does that happen? It's doing things like that. And yeah. It goes back to that Kobe analogy. It's the waving of the towel. It's the handing of the water that you don't necessarily want to do, but if you do it, you will get that win.
Sure. So how did he, so he came up with the idea, talk about that validation part of this process here. So he came up with the idea of, all right, I'm going to deal with injury of some sort. It's a 3-month boot camp program. How does he go about validating that to the existing people in his network at that point? And I say network, just like you just mentioned, whether it's, you know, locally more traditional and online, how did he go about actually validating that idea?
So this was, again, practicing what you preach. When we first met, he said, okay, I have, you know, 20 something people interested. And I said, have they gave you a deposit yet? And he's like, no, I haven't. Great. Your next step before you do anything else is make sure that those people are giving you a deposit. And so when he was able to do that, that's when it's like, okay, great. Now we officially validated. Let's start talking to more folks.
Where do those people come from? The people that had raised their hands and said, yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah, it was a combination. I know a couple came from his local networking. So just, you know, they present all the time, right? That's what the local networking group is.
Gotcha, okay.
Tell me what you do, who are you looking for, you know, you're looking for referrals, etc. So I know a couple came from there. A few came from his email list when he was just able to look at his email, see, okay, who's who do I know off the top of my head I can reach out to, etc. And then a few more came from just organic social media. So once he really got comfortable with the messaging and how he was trying to present himself, like for example, in his physical boot camps, he always ends his sessions with a high five. Everyone's walking on. He's like, all right, high five. You killed it. And so I told him, that's what you're going to be doing in video. It's going to be a virtual high five. And you're going to say, hey, like, you know. And so one of the ways he did it was he teased workouts. So he did, which it was part of the roadmap, was you're going to do, you know, similar to the launch strategy, the live stream strategy, we're teasing them with small workouts. Mm-hmm. And so he'll do a quick workout. I'm like, hey, this is how you get your hamstrings loosened up after a full day of sitting. And so he'll do that. And at the end, I'd be like, all right, congratulations, guys. High five. You did it, you know, and then kind of let them that way. So yeah, it was a combination of local networking, email, reaching out to people through email, and then organic social posting.
What was the quote unquote deposit? How much was that he made them put down?
The deposit, I'm trying to remember because it was such a fun back and forth debating pricing with him because he automatically, I think either halved his traditional pricing or even made it less. And I asked him, why are you doing that? He's like, well, because it's online. It's like, just because it's online, it has to be cheaper. Is it a result different? He's like, no, not at all.
Exactly.
So I believe we settled on, I think the program after, cause he's right now, he's finishing up, I think the final like modules for his training. So after that, he's going to want to then obviously take it to the masses.
Sure.
So I believe we decided on the beta price of $89 a month. And then for that 3 months.
Gotcha. Oh. Mm-hmm. Cool. And so what often happens next for someone who has not created a course yet is, holy cow, what does it look like to create this course? And he's got a 3-month program here. How do I create the content? Where does it get, like, where do I house it? You know, a lot of people who are not familiar with the space, they're like, what is Kajabi, for example, right? What is Teachable? That sort of thing. How did he approach that? Because you got clear on what the offer was going to be. Mm-hmm. You got 25 people saying, hey, I want this. I'm going to pay you $89 a month for 3 months. Then what's the next step for him at that point? Because now he's validated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that was actually part of the roadmap as well, because he came in with, I want a full membership site. I told him you could with a platform like this in Kajabi, but it's X amount and it's this and this. I was like, or we can just focus on the experience of the user, because the experience of the user is they just want the video content. It doesn't matter where you're giving it to me from, whether it's on your personal site, it's on a whatever. And so I gave them options within the roadmap. I gave them one, a private YouTube playlist that was specific links to them, and you could do password protected. And then from there, you're dripping out the content. Mm-hmm. Also gave them, I believe it was Vimeo. And this is one of the things with the personalized roadmap. I think as we both know, a lot of this information, it's already out there. How to set up a landing page, how to, you know, make a private YouTube list, etc. So it was just aggregating that for him. That way he wasn't getting lost in the weeds of it all. Because one, he's lost in, you know, how am I going to create a course? How am I going to sell it? And then now two, into the actual technical, okay, now I know how I want to sell it, but where do I host it? How do I do it? That was actually part of the roadmap as well.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So in putting that together, in making that decision on how to deliver the content, coming up with the promise and the benefit of like, hey, at the end of this 3-month program, you're going to have XYZ. How does he decide how it's going to be delivered? Because you mentioned, you know, YouTube or what have you, had he already made the decision like a no-brainer? Oh, I'm going to do video. I'm going to show this via video.
So it was a yes and no, right? Because he knew he wanted to do a personal training course online. So he knew he was going to have to do video, right? He was going to have to get in front of the camera and show, you know, form and proper lifting, et cetera. Right. Sure. So he kind of already knew that, but it was also just defining it within the conversations with he and I to say, because one of the reasons why we also went that route was I was letting him know that this was going to be a high touch type of business, right?
Sure.
Because it's personal training and you really need to break that rapport quickly to say, yeah, this is someone I feel comfortable virtually working out with. And at that point, video was like, it was a no brainer. It's like, you have to, so people can see how you are, who you are, how you, you know, maneuver, et cetera. And we even had advice on there for him to live stream classes he was already having physically, because again, it's going to give them that experience of like, oh, this is what these classes are like. And so yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer just because of the type of, you know, training or business it's going to be. And that's why we went that route.
So he went from having a small presence. He was in, you know, had a couple of, you know, local assets, if you will, from the networking group and, you know, maybe a personal Facebook page. On the online side, he had a little bit of an email list, but he hadn't contacted them in forever, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, come up with the offer. What does that offer look like? Who am I going to help? How am I going to help them? How am I going to deliver it? Then he went to, I'm just sort of recapping the process mm-hmm. here, the mm-hmm. steps, and validated that offer. Hey, I want, you know, 25 people. And if I can get 25 people, I'm validating this offer. He got 25 people in 2.5 weeks, you know, $89 a month, game on. And he's not having to create all 3 months of content all at once. He's creating it as he goes. And, you know, this is a recent case study here, recent example. So if I'm remembering correctly, he's kind of finishing up the content now. He's coming to the end of his 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so where does he go from here? Now that he's validated this, he's got a little taste of the online sweetness.
Yeah,
where does he go from here, do you think?
He actually had just reached out to me not too long ago because he has one more coaching call left.
Okay.
He decided to prolong it. He said, okay, let me focus on, you know, this happened much faster than he thought it was going to. So he's like, I have my 25 people. Let me start getting to work and creating the content itself.
Yeah.
Sure. And I let him know, you know, you have the ability to have your final coaching call maybe halfway through your course. Mm-hmm. That way we can, you know, help you or teach you, etc. And he said, you know what, I think that part I'm okay with right now, because like you said, once he caught the bug, then he started obsessing over it. So he started learning how to, you know, create the content. And so he just recently messaged me. He said, you know, then my final call, I want to focus on Facebook ads. So now he's like, okay, it works. I got, you know, I got some case studies now. How do I take it to the masses now?
Gotcha.
And then at that point is just figuring out the best approach for him. Whether it's, you know, we take him to another level of tier where it's just now, you know, scaling and it's, you know, we both know it's a different approach now, or we give him the basic information he needs, give him some awesome tutorials, recommend him to foundations that really help him out. And then, you know, see where he goes from there.
Gotcha. So my kind of last question here, thank you so much for taking us through that. I mean, I love hearing stories like this from, you know, taking somebody from no online presence to, like, now, you know, now he's creating online, he got the beginnings of an online business. He's actually serving clients online and he's setting up the foundation and structure and infrastructure, if you will, to scale his business. And now the sky's the limit, honestly. So how does this differ from somebody in the corporate world? Because somebody in the corporate world likely doesn't have, and I don't want to make a broad assumption here, but they likely don't have the kind of assets that, you know, somebody who is pretty entrenched in the local area as a personal trainer might be, and you're in Rich here in your case study. From in the corporate world, they probably don't have any kind of email list at this point. They probably don't have a social media presence that revolves around what it is that they want to, you know, do online or their expertise. It's probably more on a personal level. How does this process differ now with that type of person?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I guess I would say just because they don't have it doesn't necessarily mean they can't get it, right? And so I think the biggest thing that's going to differ from there is a mind shift. Because I remember being early in my corporate career and wanting to do a side hustle and wanting to keep it secret from my cubicle buddy, right? Because you don't know how people are going to react or what they're going to say, et cetera. And so, like with Rich, it was a perfect example on his online presence was much more personal than anything else. You know, he did every once in a while take a picture of the gym, but it was mostly him, his son, or, you know, him out and about, et cetera. And so a lot of the corporate folks out there, you probably already do, you know, once we figure out what your secret sauce is and once we figure out, you know, what it is that you can bring uniquely to the table, you probably do have maybe a handful of these people sitting around in your, you know, Instagram and your Facebook, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that's where I know a lot of people come on the podcast and talk about that with the small following is that's where you're really going to have to take that connection to the next level. Because it is, you're starting with a smaller sample size, you know, give them your positive energy, like give them your focus and soul attention. And that's where you can then start to see those numbers with the small following. You start seeing those results. But again, it's just, you're going to have to just be a little bit more of a personal touch to it. Sure. Also, if you're in the corporate world, you're probably going to want to leverage LinkedIn more than you would think you would need to, because maybe a lot of your connections are already there. And that's a perfect example for myself. When I decided to, you know, serve a specific type of people, these new people, I went back through my LinkedIn and it was kind of cool because I was able to say, oh, that's right, I did connect with so-and-so back in 2016. Wow, I wonder how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so it was almost a reconnection, but it's also like, okay, I know this person is still within the corporate world and that's the people I'm trying to serve. Let me go ahead and reopen that connection. And so that's, I think, would be the biggest difference of it is one, getting comfortable and knowing like, I'm going to do something that's out of the realm of it. So, you know, trial and error and mistakes and all that good stuff. And then also just because you have just more of a personal, you know, presence, most likely there's people in there that you can either just spark a conversation, pick their brain on, or, you know, if they end up buying, then great.
Totally. I love it. Dude, thank you so much for taking us through this. I've been honored to watch you and help you along the way. And, you know, I think that this is, especially having gone through this myself, right? Having left the corporate world, having no idea what I was doing and, you know, fumbling around thinking like as soon as I left on, you know, September 30th, 2012 was my final day in the corporate world. And then that was a Friday. And then waking up on Monday morning saying, you know, like, holy cow, what do I do now? Yeah. Oh, I'm an online entrepreneur. And I'm using air quotes as I say that.
Yeah, yeah.
No idea what that really meant. And, you know, I'll never forget that last quarter of the year through the holidays. I was an anxious mess.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, what did I do? You know, cause I went from having that quote unquote security blanket of, you know, a steady paycheck every 2 weeks to, hey, it's up to me now. And then, you know, like I've often shared, it took me a while to get there. Mm-hmm. But so this is like, I so believe that this is something, especially even way more so than, you know, 7 years ago when I did it, like especially in this day and age, you know, with the way that things are in the corporate world. And again, nothing against corporate world. I just think that more and more people need this sort of guidance, coaching plan in order to have a bigger impact in the world and go do their own thing. So thank you for taking us through all this. I want to make sure people can connect with you if they want more information as far as like, hey, they want to have a conversation with you or they know somebody who, you know, this sort of thing would be great for. Where can people connect with you?
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. So Instagram is jayquiroz, JAYQUIROZ. And that's going to be Facebook as well, but you're going to tie in digital at the end. So Jose, or it's jayquiroz digital.
Okay.
You should be able to find me on there as well. And then I will have a link ready on my homepage. That's jayqueiroz.com/cubicle-2-laptop. So jayqueiroz.com/cubicle-to-laptop. And there you'll have some information. We'll have the case study enrich and also kind of give you some, just some tips and a little bit of the layout on how you could use that, you know, to go from cubicle to laptop, because the process is very, very, very similar. It's very similar. Well, obviously there's some unique identifiers to each person, but overall, and you know what, I'll ask you now, what do you think if, you know, I took that sample of the action of the game plan that we gave Rich and kind of watermarked it and provided it for folks to just kind of see like, oh, this is what this kind of looks like. What's your thoughts on that?
I love it. I mean, you know, and some people are going to go through it themselves, which is great.
Oh yeah.
But, and then there's going to be a whole other group of people that want help, you know, facilitating this process. So I love that idea for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. And I mean, you know, making that jump and making that decision, you know, there is a lot of self-drive that has to happen because like what you're saying on that Monday morning, when you're waking up and realizing, wait, there's no 9 to 5 to go to, like, what do I do? How do I actually go about doing this now? You know, it really takes that personal every single day of figuring out the next step and the next step and the next step.
Absolutely. 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 Guys, I'll have links to all the links that Jose just mentioned in the show notes for the episode here today, as well as in the show description. So, you know, you didn't catch those, I will link those up for you so you can connect with Jose or pass along Jose's information to somebody that you think that might benefit from connecting with him. So Jose, thank you, my man, for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Like I said, I've been listening to it for a while, so it's a little surreal and I really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much for everything in the coaching program. It's been a huge, not just business development, but personal development. And it's, I'm telling you, man, it's changed my life. It really has. And so thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for saying that, buddy.
All right, no worries.
Hey, so I hear from online experts every day that Facebook and Instagram ads make them want to pull their hair out and they're not getting the results that they want from their ads. They feel overwhelmed and intimidated when it comes to getting Facebook and Instagram ads to work for them and their business. Not to mention they're afraid of flushing money down the toilet with their ads. If you are an online expert, in other words, you are an online educator, you're a course creator, you're a coach, you're a consultant, maybe you're doing webinars in your business, maybe you've got a membership program, etc., and you want to be growing your email list by reaching more of your target audience and selling more of your programs or services on a consistent basis. If you're listening right now, nodding your head, saying, yeah, this is me, or maybe you know somebody like this, then I want to invite you or that person that you know to my free webinar training, which is called How to Generate Profitable Leads and Sales with Facebook and Instagram Ads. This is where I walk you through exactly what you need to know to be creating profitable Facebook and Instagram ads today. And you can sign up for this training at rickmulready.com/training. You can pick a day and time that works best for you. I love being able to help you remove all that overwhelm and fear when it comes to creating profitable Facebook and Instagram ads so that you can have a bigger impact, right, while expanding your audience so that you can be attracting more attention and growing your email list on a consistent basis and in the process making more sales. That's what this is all about, right? Again, the link to sign up for this free training is rickmulready.com/training. Okay, coming up on the podcast, I've got another quick tip episode coming your way where I'm going to be talking about the latest update concerning Facebook's rollout of campaign budget optimization, or CBO, as the cool kids call it. This is something that if you are running Facebook and Instagram ads right now, that you should definitely be aware of. So until then, and as always, my friends, keep testing your online marketing to find out what works for you and your business. Then do more of what's working, right? I'll see you in the next episode.
Don't worry, there's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money?
I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.